Hey guys, welcome back to another podcast. My name's Colby Shinaki, and if this message speaks to you, encourages you, builds your faith in any way, all that I ask is that you leave a review, a rating, and hit the subscribe button. It really helps me out a ton into reaching as many people as possible with this podcast. But with that being said, let's get into the message. Hey guys, what's going on? Go ahead and turn with me to Luke chapter 15. I want to be diving into the story of the prodigal son. I hope that everybody's doing really good today. My name is Colby Shinaki, and I'm really not in a good headspace. Like, I'm not sad at all, I'm not depressed, but I just don't want to be doing anything today. You know that feeling? Like, it's really gloomy outside, it's about to rain, and all I want to do is just jump into my bed and go to sleep. Like, it's not that I'm going to, like, we're going to make it through this podcast together. And honestly, I'm really excited. Like, this is one of my favorite stories in the Bible, but Luke chapter 15, verse 11, and it says, "And there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that's coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had, and he took a journey to a far country. There he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who had sent him into the field to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and nobody gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he rose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him." Would you pray with me? God, thank you so much just for the opportunity to make a podcast and just be able to talk about you. Lord, I pray for each and every person on the other side of this broadcast that this message is correctly articulated. God, that it's properly said. And let me just be a bridge between confusion and clarity today. Lord, thank you so much for your word. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Have you ever just felt separated from your purpose? I know that I've had many times in my life where I just feel lost and I feel like I don't know what to do and I don't know where I'm going. And so I act rationally on my choices and I begin to look for just anything that'll satisfy me. Have you ever been like that? I think if we're all honest with ourselves, then we would agree with that statement. Or maybe if you haven't, and if that's the case, then I want you to take this message. I want you to put it in your back pocket. And when that time comes, and it will, then listen to it. But what I would like to do today is just get to the bottom of why we feel purposeless sometimes. Okay, I can't be the only one that's made an illogical, irrational decision because I was mad or upset. Like, is it just me? Like, I'm about to expose myself, but years ago, I went to a small conference startup called Passion in Atlanta, Georgia. You may have heard of it. It was amazing. I was living my best life while I was there. The people were amazing. The coffee was outstanding. The messages were so good. I felt like a super Christian walking out of there and heading home. I was just re-energized and just ready to change the world. But I drove home with my friend and I dropped him off and I was heading back to my house. And I got back to my house about at 6 o'clock that night and I walked in to my parents having a heated argument. And I'm not going to lie, I did get involved with the argument a little bit, and all that I knew was just my passion and my zeal and all of my energy just was gone in an instant. And so out of rage and ignorance, I got back in my car and I started driving to Georgia with no plan. I was driving with nowhere to stay, no plan, no goal in mind. I was dodging calls from my parents, and I just had this reckoning moment. I had just crossed the Georgia line. I was 6 hours away from home, a little bit more, and I pulled off into a gas station and I realized that I had no money for gas. I was ticked. I pouted. I sat there for 2 hours before I swallowed my pride and I called my mom and I asked her to transfer money so that I could drive home. And so I drove home. My mom was asleep and honestly, we just kind of let it die. Nothing really came out of it. We didn't talk about it. It just kind of happened. But I was so embarrassed and I felt so stupid. And quite frankly, I kind of felt exactly like the prodigal son in the passage that we just read. And if I'm honest, I think there's a lot of people that relate to the prodigal son as well. See, at the beginning of this passage, he is just unsatisfied with his life. He is not content with where he's going. He is just constantly looking at other people and other things with envy in his eyes. See, I don't mean to get this real on the broadcast this early, but it kind of sounds like our social media culture, doesn't it? Just people continuously looking at the highlight reels of everyone else's life while living out the full perspective of our own. Just seeing the highs and the lows. And if you spend long enough doing that, discontentment with your own life is sure to come from it. And if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. You can't allow yourself to be consumed with other people's highlight reels because you will stop seeing the purpose in your own life. And that's where we find ourselves being like the younger brother in Luke 15. He started to be consumed with what he saw other people doing, so he started to tell himself that he could do this thing on his own. And that's really the first sign that you're starting to be separated from your purpose. You will begin to believe that you can do this thing called life on your own. You will start to find things that will fill you up and attempt to satisfy you, and you will see yourself running wherever the wind takes you, just for a little excitement, just for a little attention, all with the attempt to fill this void that can only be filled by being in God's presence. But here's the trap that the enemy places. See, it feels good, and the thing that you're running to will often give off the perception that it's filling your needs for a time being, but what happens when that thing becomes monotonous? What happens when that thing becomes repetitive and it loses its new feeling? For instance, I used to work for the Marriott Hotel Company for about 5 years, but I worked as a server in the luxury brand, the Ritz-Carlton, and it was incredible. The pride that kind of came with working for the Ritz-Carlton was amazing. It was luxurious. It was jaw-dropping. But over the course of time, that luxuriousness began to fade away, and it began to feel like a job again. The monotony of it and the mundaneness began to set in, and what used to be amazing no longer had that feel to me. It was just another place to go. And just like me with the Ritz-Carlton, and even more so with the prodigal son and where he's at right now, once the monotony sets in, you'll be faced with the choice of what you're going to run to next. And that's where we find the prodigal son now. He ran away. He did the things that everybody else was doing, and his cup ran out. He had no more money left in his inheritance. Not only that, but a famine came over the land that he was in. So two disasters struck him. One was entirely his own fault. He spent all the money, and he put himself in a hard place. And then the famine was not his fault, but it increased his difficulties. People that might have helped him before found their own circumstances more straining. So food was short, and consequently, that would be priced higher, and it gave people the perfect excuse for refusing to help. So he even lacked the necessities of life. I wonder if any of us have ever felt like this, have just felt so drained or so alone and so depleted. The Bible says that he was so empty, he literally had nothing, that he went to one of the citizens of the country to ask if he could have what the pigs were eating, and they told him no. He felt lower than the pigs, but as he was there, he started to remember and he started to think, and the text says that he came to himself. I think that some of us need to wake up. Some of us need to come to our senses and stop settling for the food that the pigs are eating and know that our Father has something that is way better for us. If you're writing, taking notes, write this down. You will never be more dissatisfied with your life than when you are detached from your purpose. When your life is disconnected from the one who wired you, designed you, and put you together, you will always have a void in your life that will never be filled. So moving forward, it says that the prodigal son came to himself, and he gets up and he heads home, and he starts to rehearse what he's going to say to his father. Have you ever done that? Like, you know when you did something wrong and you start to write out what you're going to say to your sibling, your parent, or your friend when you see them? Like you want to turn your apology into a keynote speech? And the narrative takes a turn, and it says before he even got home, it actually says that while he was still a long way off, the father saw him and ran to him and hugged him and threw a huge party for the son's return. Now, I want to quickly stop here because I think this is huge, and I want to give a little bit of context, but in the first century, a Middle Eastern man never ever ran. If he were to run, he would have to pick up his tunic so that he wouldn't trip. And if he did this, he would expose his bare legs. And in that culture, that was a humiliating and shameful thing for a man to do. So now knowing that, can you imagine the reactions of the people's faces when he said this? Like, I can already see the disgust on their face. I can already see the people scoffing and talking to one another. But that's the love of the Father right there. No matter what it takes, he's coming for you. He doesn't care who's watching. He doesn't care how shameful he looks chasing after the one that he loves. He wants you. He wants you to stop looking at the things that won't fill your heart. Stop looking at the things that'll never be enough, because he is more than enough for you, and he has everything that you will ever need. The love of the Father is so reckless, it is so radical, that he was willing to endure the cross, an execution that was designed for embarrassing and shaming that person. Despising all of that, he is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God, calling you to himself. He just wants you to come home and stop looking and wasting your time on things that are meaningless. Now, I want you to remember that this is a parable, and we're landing this plane right here, but if you don't know what a parable is, it's a visual story to illustrate a spiritual meaning. So for me, this isn't a story about a kid that got mad, ran away, then came home, and everything was okay again. For me, this is a story about somebody who lost their purpose, did what so many of us do and ran to anything that gave us a sliver of pleasure, realized that this was never going to be enough, and then came home to the one thing that our souls truly desire, and that's to be fully known and in the presence of God. He loves you. He wants you. He's looking for you even if you don't see it. You are the object of his obsession.